The question that song poses is the theme of the message this morning. Is your all on the altar? Is your all on the altar? This morning, would you turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, verses we're very familiar with, but I feel impressed, constrained by the Holy Spirit to go there. In Romans 12, the first verse, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I want to stop the reading right there. Would you bow your heads with me as we just offer a prayer this morning? Oh, precious Father, we just come before you in that precious name of Jesus, thanking you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thanking you, Lord, for the word that you have prepared for us. And we pray, Lord, that we put everything aside, every thoughts out of our mind, and focus on what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us this morning. Lord, take away any inhibitions, oh God. Lord, whatever you want to be said, let it be said for your glory. Let it bring fruit to our hearts and lives, oh God. Let it touch us deeply, oh God, in this day in which we live. Difficult times. But Lord, you're encouraging us. You're speaking to us specifically. And I pray you help us in Jesus' name. Amen. In this chapter 12, Paul takes the empirical truths that are taught in the first 11 chapters and he applies it in the practical application to our salvation. Old-time preachers used to say the gospel has a believing side and a behaving side. And this morning, we're going to talk about the behaving side of the gospel. A situation where, Lord, help us to pay attention to your word and understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us. We're living in desperate times. Someone said the times are desperate, but we're not. And I pray the Lord give us that understanding and that feeling and that desire, because God wants to move. God wants to do a great work. In this petition that he makes for a surrendered life, I beseech you, almost as if to say, I beg you, it's an urgent and personal request. I beg you, pay attention to this, that there is a time for no half-hearted devotion. By the mercies of it, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Contrast with the sacrifices in the Old Testament, a new and living sacrifice that we are to present ourselves totally sold out to Jesus Christ. Praise God. The basis of that petition is a constraining of the Holy Spirit. Present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord. It's a love of God that constrains us. That song we sing, mercy there was great, the chorus, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Praise God. What he did on Calvary, praise the Lord. The last verse really has always stayed with me. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for Calvary this morning? Oh, praise God. Lord, help us to have that in our minds, oh God. Not to get away from that. Calvary, praise God. That's where it took place. Praise the Lord. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. I needed pardon, and you needed pardon this morning, my brother and sister. And that's where the pardon was applied, through the blood of Jesus. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, praise the Lord this morning. Lord, would you continue to speak to us? Praise God. It is a consecration, a living sacrifice to present yourselves. This was a word used in the Old Testament when they presented the sacrifice on the altar. And the consecrated, the sacrifice was given over completely and entirely. Not part, but completely and entirely, praise God. That God wants to work, God wants to do, praise the Lord. That your bodies would be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice surrendered unto God. Praise the Lord, that he would have his way. And the application is not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. Not to be conformed, but transformed. That word transformed is where we get the word metamorphosis. In the English language, it comes out metamorphosis, and it is used in several times in the New Testament. The transfiguration of Jesus, that same word is used to be transformed, metamorphosis, a change that takes place. And in the scripture, it says in Colossians, or 2 Corinthians rather, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. There's a transformation that takes place in our lives, a transformation that can only take place when we are totally surrendered unto Him, when we present ourselves a living sacrifice, surrendered unto God. And that's the question this morning. Is your all on the altar? Is your all on that altar of sacrifice? I heard a description. An altar said is a place to die on. It's where we die to the old life. We die to sin. We die to the things of this life. Praise God, we're transformed. On that altar, praise God, we're in God's hands to do with us as He wishes, as He desires. We say, Lord, help us to be surrendered unto you. Oh, praise God. You see, God wants to work. What is the scripture? Why the application? Why the scripture? Why was Paul inspired by the Holy Spirit to present this word? Because the only way the Holy Spirit can work is if we're totally surrendered unto Him. Not a halfway, not a partial, not a little bit, but totally surrendered unto Him. And that's the question I've been asking myself all week. Lord, what is it? Is there something? Is there more that I need to surrender? Is there things in my life? Examine my heart, oh God. Are there things that I need to surrender, to let go of, to put less importance on, and to continue to focus wholly on your will and your work and the things of God, praise the Lord. And God wants to move. I believe it's Philippians or Ephesians, he talks about walk worthy of the vocation, that endeavor to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That unity of the Spirit is not only with our brothers and sisters, but it's with the Lord, praise God. That unity with Him, praise God. That communion that is not broken with Jesus Christ, that we can have that communion with Him, experience and the communication that we so need, praise God. That He would have His way, that He would use us for the kingdom, praise God. That He would help us and strengthen us. The surrendered life is daily. daily. Pick up your cross daily. Be surrendered unto him daily. It's an everyday thing because we are still in our humanity. And Paul writes to Galatians, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Crucified, have kept it under. Continue to kill it, literally. To kill it, it means here, but it is to keep it under, praise God, that the Spirit of God would have dominion over us. Praise the Lord, that he would have his way in our lives, that he would be able to work. Praise the Lord. The only way that God can move is by the Holy Spirit having total control. That we're hot and cold sometimes because we're in and out. We're not surrendered totally, and we get into our humanity and the old man takes over. And the Lord says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. No will of our own. No thoughts of our own. This is hard to do. We have this humanity that we fight continuously, that battles with us. But oh, praise God, Lord, help us. It's a daily struggle to maintain our communion with the Lord, to help us go forward, praise God. It's an intimate life. It's a focused life. A life focused on Jesus Christ. We have so many things going on in our lives today. Do you see the plan of the enemy? Do you see what's going on in life? We're so busy. We're so busy with so many things, so many activities that flood us, that keep our attention, that cause us to have to spend time and energy on it. And then we have these cell phones with all the information that is kind of, you go in a restaurant, and I'm guilty of it myself. You go in a restaurant, and I told Kathy, we were looking at breakfast yesterday morning, and there were two elderly folk about our age that were sitting across from us, and they were both on their phones. They weren't talking, but they were both on their phones, you know, pumping away. I don't know what they were looking at, but so many things to be concerned about. I don't know if it's the time in which we live or the temperature of the politics that is with us, but it seems like there's so much focus on what's going on in the world today politically, what's going on in the situations in countries, in the government, the corruption that is being exposed, all the things, and we're focused on that and we're involved in that. It's hard to walk away from it. There's so much is being exposed, and the enemy, you see, is no longer hiding what he's doing. Satan is no longer hiding what is going on. It's open, out in the open, what is happening to the church and to the world. Praise God. Oh, Lord, help us in these days. We need your presence more than ever. We need the Holy Spirit to manifest and to work in our lives, to be surrendered unto you, that you can work a mighty work, that you can do the things that are necessary. We have so many loved ones that are out of the ark of safety. I'm not judging them, but we know they're not with the Lord. We know they're not serving God. Some are not going to church. Some, I don't know where they're at. They may be going to church, but there seems to be no salvation there. And what is our condition? What is our situation? Lord, we're desperate for you to work because the time is short. Jesus is coming, praise God, and he's calling his church to get ready. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So busy about careers and accomplishments. And that's not wrong. That's fine. Keep it in the proper perspective. What comes first? Jesus Christ. What comes first? The things of God. What comes first? Serving him. Oh, Lord, help us. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, do the commandments and so on and so forth, Jesus said. And he says, I've done all that. something within him. I just impressed with that passage in the Word of God, that something with him was still not satisfied with the answer, because he knew he wasn't fully committed. And he says, is there anything else? He had the courage to ask the question. He could have walked away and said, well, hey, I'm doing good. I'm following the commandments. I'm okay. No, something was bothering him. And maybe that something is bothering you. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Someday you're going to come face to face with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Someday, individually, you and I are going to come face to face. And there's going to be no some loved one or pastor or deacon or anyone with you. It's going to be you and the Lord. And everything that has done, everything that you've accomplished, everything that you live for, everything that you have done is going to be before you. Heard someone say, well, I'm going to negotiate. There's no negotiations in this. You're not going to go negotiate with the righteous King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's not saying this because he's angry with us. He's saying this to alert us, to warn us. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor and come follow me. And it says a young man left sorrowful because he had many possessions, and Jesus knew his master was his possessions. His master was his possessions. You can't serve two masters. You can't be in church on Sunday and be with the world on Monday. You can't do it. It doesn't work like that. You can kid yourself and raise your hands and sing and act like that, you know, so pious in church, but it's the reality that's within. The effort that you make, the tenaciousness you seek after the Lord, the surrender you have in your heart. I want to be with the people of God. I want to be in God's presence. I want the Lord to bless me. Oh Lord, help us. When the disciples were called, they immediately left their nets and their boats and followed Jesus. Didn't have a question. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? A career, security, income, family, friends, home. They left it all to follow Jesus. Oh Lord, what examples we have in the Word of God. What examples we have before us this morning. You see, there's no exception clause to surrender. Well, if I go to church once in a while, if I pray once in a while, if I send money, if I do good deeds, no exception clauses. God wants 100% of us, total surrender. Total surrender. Praise God. Not just part. Not do the things that are convenient or easy. Total surrender. In Luke, we find these words. Jesus said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and look back looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. So many people are trying to negotiate a settlement with Jesus. I'll follow you, but I'm keeping my money. I'm only given so much. I'll follow you, but don't ask me to forgive that person that hurt me. They don't deserve it. I'll follow you, but don't ask me to save sex for marriage. I'll follow you, but don't ask me to change. I give you everything except, oh Lord, there's no negotiation here. It's total surrender. Jesus said in Corinthians, or the word says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. What you have belongs to Jesus. In Galatians, Paul writes about the battle, the spiritual battle that goes on. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. So that you cannot do the things you would. The only way to walk in the Spirit is to be totally surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Totally surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to do my own thing. Well, you can do your own thing. But that's not what the Word of God, that's not what, you want to be blessed? You can only find peace and sweet rest and be totally blessed as you yield him your body and soul, as you're all on the altar of sacrifice laid. Some of you have already made the thought in your mind, you're not coming back tonight. You don't do Sunday nights. Is that totally surrendered? Is that totally surrendered? So much. I do so much. I'm going to this service. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to this. I'm not going to that. After all, I got a life. I got to live my life. It's interesting when you think about it. Jesus gave up everything. He was killed by the unbelievers, gave up everything, so that in time to come, he would be honored and worshiped by everyone. Someday, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. He poured out himself, gave all that he have. I lost everything to gain everything, praise God, amen. Oh Lord, help us. We always, there's what part of our hearts, what is in there that in your heart? I ask you to examine yourself. It's been all with me all week. What part of my heart isn't totally surrendered to God? What part of that, what are the things that I kind of, you know, hold dear to me that I won't let go? Am I afraid to let go? If I really take a stand for Jesus, what's going to happen to my family? Or are we going to be in war? Is there going to be conflict? And that's where faith comes in. Take your stand. Take your stand. God will honor that stand. God will honor your total surrender. We've got to examine ourselves. Next Sunday morning, we're going to be taking the wine and the bread to in remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross. And the word says to examine ourselves. Have I given over everything? Have I made things right? Has the Holy Spirit been telling me I need to get things corrected and I'm not doing it? Or has a brother, a spiritual brother, talked to me and said, hey, brother, there's this issue. And what? I don't want to discuss it. Pride says, leave it alone. Pride says you're okay. And what does the Spirit of God say? Are you at total peace? Are you at total peace? Justification. The Holy Spirit, you see, is the truth teller. He's that still small voice that you can't get away from, that you can hide, but it's there. It's you just can't ignore it. What are you doing? Are you right? Is everything okay? See, you're not answering to man. You're not answering to any man, no matter what the dispute or situation is. You're answering to God. And you're going to come before Him. Oh, Lord. Why is the Holy Spirit speaking to us like this? Why such a message this morning? I say, Lord, I didn't want to preach it. I said, Lord, nothing changes. I feel like it's a hard message. I feel like the word is very direct and stiff, but I didn't want to preach it. I want to see things change. God wants to see things change. We can't stay like we are. We become mechanical in our worship, mechanical in our attendance, mechanical, traditional in the way we behave. Oh, Lord, help us. This is not the Holy Ghost church that God planted. God wants a church that is moved by the power of the Spirit. God wants a church that is free. God wants a church that is living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Where the gifts are in operation. And conviction takes place. And healing takes place. Not just physical, but spiritual healing takes place. And unity becomes, we come together in unity. And God says, I've got a greater purpose. Do you realize the time is short? Do you realize you're wasting time? You can't stay like you are. Is your all on the altar? Is it? Don't answer me, answer the Lord. Is it on the altar? Have you turned every stone over? Are you doing all that you can do for Jesus? Well, brother, I got my career, I got school, and I'm involved, I got this and that and the other. You can have all that stuff. But what's on top? What's number one priority? Do you think you're the one guiding your career? Do you think you're the one making the smart decision? Do you think you're in charge? Do you think that? I got news for you. God is moving the checkers. God is overseeing your life. The psalmist said, even when I was in my mother's womb, all the pages of my life were written. Oh no, I'm going to be this superstar. I'm going to be the captain, and I'm going to be a captain of industry and what? Come on. Give me a break. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the spirit control? The problem is sometimes Ryan gets in the way. You know the trouble with a living sacrifice? You know what the problem is? They crawl off the altar and they do their own thing. And I have to find myself crawling back on the altar. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Oh, you're taking this thing way too serious. God is forgiving. God is love. Yes, yes, He is. But I'm not taking it too serious. God has an expectation. You're here this morning because of God's love. We're going to celebrate what Jesus did on the cross next Sunday. The magnificent example of love. Will you be here next Sunday morning? I came across this information. Barna Research recently reported that 65% of 18 to 42-year-olds in America have made a personal commitment to Jesus that is still important. The same research showed that only 23%, one-third, of those who had made a commitment of Jesus believed that sex outside of marriage is wrong. I made a commitment to Jesus, but only one-third say, well, sex outside of marriage. What Bible are they reading? If any. Only 13% said that getting drunk is a sin. I will follow you, Jesus, except for drinking. Many who claim to be followers of Christ, but don't live the life, haven't surrendered. I'm a follower of Christ, but He's not the Lord of my life. Oh no. You know, it's interesting. You look at the apostles, and they call them slaves of Jesus Christ. I was reading Peter could have introduced himself as Peter, the best friend with Jesus, walker on water, part of the inner circle on the Mount of Transfiguration. Instead, Peter simply says, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. James could have introduced himself as James, the half-brother of Jesus. Instead, he simply says, James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul could have introduced himself as Paul, educated by Gamaliel, missionary extraordinaire, and best-selling author of the Bible. Instead, he simply says, Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. That Greek word slave is doulos, solely committed to another. You see, slavery today, we think it has a bad connotation. Think of early American history and how bad that is, but in the Word of God, this was revered. I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. I have no will of my own, no possessions of my own. Everything I have is because of Him. Everything I've accomplished is because of Him. Praise the Lord. You really can't call Jesus Lord unless you yourself are a slave. He's our master. I listen to Him once in a while when I feel like it, when it's okay with my humanity, I listen to Him. No. Can you call Him Lord and not be a slave? I don't think so. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Speak to us, oh God. You can get upset with me and say, you know, I came to hear something nice. I came to be soothed. I need help. I got problems in my life, and here I'm, you know, I'm hearing this message, and what's the message? The message is for you. Because you want help in your life, you got to be totally surrendered to Jesus Christ. We want to do our thing. We want to live the life how we want to live it. And then we expect all the blessings of God, all the things for God to do for us. I listened to a pastor one time who was counseling two young people, and they were living together. And they came to him. They wanted to have him marry them. He says, wait a minute, let me get this straight now. You're living together, you know, against the word of God, but you want God's blessing on your marriage. You want God to heal, you want God to deliver, you want God to work in your family, but you're only willing to give so much. I don't come on Sunday night. I don't come on Wednesday nights. I don't attend the Bible. I don't attend prayer meeting. I love the Lord, but on my terms. Oh, Brother Ron, you're being really specific. Am I? Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts? God is opening our mind, open our eyes. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. We say that and we read it, and boy, that sounds good. Yeah, I'm a living. What does a living sacrifice? What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? You mean I got to do something? You mean I got to deny self? Oh, God forbid, deny self. And some are going to walk away from this sermon this morning and just continue just like they have been. And you know what I pray? I pray the Holy Spirit haunts you. I pray the Holy Spirit goes after you. A Holy Spirit bring this word to you. I hope the Holy Spirit wakes you up in the middle of the night. Why? Because I'm mad at you? No, because I love you. I don't want to see you miss it. This is serious business. This isn't attending a service on Sunday morning, raising our hands and whooping it up, and oh, the choir's good and the music's good and everybody's happy, and we go home and we go to our respective lunches and whatever and relax the rest of the afternoon and watch something. No! This is about our life in Christ Jesus. Is your all on the altar? Is it on the altar this morning? That's the message. I'm going to close right here. Brother, sister, would you come forward? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. You see, that's part of the battle, because the old nature, the old man, is he enjoys the world. He enjoys the things of this life. He's thrilled by those things that take us away from God. The old nature don't want to be confined or constrained. The old nature wants to do its thing. The old nature don't want to be made to feel bad, doesn't want conviction. The old nature wants the flesh petted and soothed and say, oh, you're the greatest. Be not transformed by the renewing of your mind, that may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what the Holy Spirit does when he takes over. He renews our mind, gives us the mind. Jesus says we have the mind of Christ. The mind, how does that happen? The Holy Spirit gives us that mind of Christ. We understand the things that are important to God. We understand the things that make us happy. The mind of Christ. Oh, praise God. Lord, help us to examine ourselves in light of next Sunday morning. And just in general, is my all on the altar? Am I totally surrendered? Am I doing everything I can? Whatever physical limitations you have, God understands. I'm not talking about those situations. I'm talking about habitual service to the Lord. How do we behave? Oh God, please visit us in these days. We need an awakening. We need a mighty downpour of the Holy Ghost. We need the power of God to saturate us and to revive us again. May the name of the Lord be praised. Do we have a song?